I have heard men speak, and no doubt you have too. My father-in-law states to me a few days ago, he attended a conference, and he stated, he said, for 3 weeks, or for 3 days of that conference, he heard everything there was to hear that was wrong with the church and with the saints of God, with the ministry, why there wasn't revival, why there wouldn't be revival, why just was the end. My father-in-law stated to me, he said, I sit there and I heard and listened, and I become disturbed in my spirit. And they asked me to minister the last morning of that conference. And he says, I looked at the man who was in charge. He said, sir, you don't want me to minister. He said, but I feel it's the will of God for you to minister. I feel like God has spoken to me. He said, all right, I will minister. And so my father-in-law, for 1 hour, he spoke about what was right about the church and what was right about the saints and about the fact that God was still yet granting revival to those that would dare believe it and seek God for it. Now, I don't know how you feel about the church tonight, and really it isn't going to faze me in my opinion. I believe that God has got a church in the earth today, and that they are doing His will. Let me say that again. They are doing His will. And whether you wish to realize or not, God is going to have a church. A church. When He comes, He is going to have a church, a bride that is ready, that has made herself ready, that has endeavored to do that has been pleasing unto Him. Hallelujah! And you know something? It's a glorious church. It's a church that is blood-bought, a church that is raved herself in white linen. A glorious church. Hallelujah. And I'm glad to be in that church. As I've often heard, even the worst times in here are better than the best times out yonder. And I'm glad to be in the church. You know something? Folks that make it in, that will see the completion of the plan of God for the ages, will not be there by chance. God has provided for us in Christ Jesus all that we need to make it in. He has provided for all that we need to make it in. Now, I need to say that again. He has provided for us all that we need and will ever need to make it in. But in the midst of all of that provision that has been made for us, we have to deal with us and with the human factor. I can make it in if I want to. I can be saved if I want to. I can cross the finish line if I want to. I can live eternally in heaven if I want to. But it is up to me. Woo! Did you hear me? I said it's up to me. In the face of all of the provision that has been made
I can be lost, you can be lost, we can all be lost. But if it is so, it is we cannot turn and look at God and say to Him, you did not provide for my situation. God has made provision. I want you to understand that for us to make it in, we're going to have to make an effort on our part. We are going to have to make an effort on our part. Paul said this in writing to the church at Corinth. But before we do, I want to go to the book of Acts and refresh your mind with a passage there from the second chapter. And oh, may I say, I'm dropping down below the 38th verse, where the apostle Peter then says this in verse 48, said, and with many other words did he testify and exalt, saying, save yourselves. Well, let me read that again. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves. From this untoward, this difficult, this unmanageable, this undisciplined generation. Save yourselves. So what he's saying to me is, if you want it, it's here. But you're going to have to make an effort. You're going to have to do something other than what you're doing. He then tells the church at Corinth this. And turn with me there, if you would, to that second epistle, I believe it is. And verse chapter 7, beginning in verse 1, he says this, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. May I read it again? Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. I'm to save myself. I am to do some cleansing myself. I am to do some separating myself. Why? I want to be saved. I want to make it in. I want to go to heaven. I've got to make it in. I've got to make it to heaven. He said again, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the sight of God or in the fear of God. The Apostle Peter picks up this thought, and if you care to turn there, in his second epistle when he says this. Chapter 1, verse 4. Wherefore, given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through us. And besides this, giving all diligence. Wait a minute now. If God wants me to make it in, He has already made provision. The question must be asked of you, do you want to make it in? Then provision has been made. What must I do? You need to do some separating. You do need to do some cleansing. And here the Apostle Peter uses the term diligent. He says this, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. He said, then, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, why is he lacking them? Because he was not diligent to add to his faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, was not adding. Notice now, but he that lacketh these things is, he is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged. A sad state for one to fall into, simply because they were not diligent. Adding. Now notice. And hath forgotten that he was purged from his sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, what things? If you're diligent in adding to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Doing these things, that sounds like a full-time job, doesn't it? It sounds like a full-time effort on my part if I'm going to make it in. Continuously adding. He said, for if ye do these things, ye shall... What? What does the word say? For if ye do these things, and I realize there are those in the religious realm today that will teach you that if you accept the grace of God, the unmerited grace, then there is no need for you to do anything else. You're saved. You make it in no matter what you do. But to do so is only to frustrate the grace of God. I've heard an individual say this, and having read some of the teachings of one of the fathers of gone by days, who said we need to prove the grace of God by sinning a little bit every day, proving that God is still loving. But the grace of God is proven not when we sin every day, but when we are kept from sin. When He picks us up, brings us up to a mark and a standard that is pleasing unto Him. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. He said, what for if we do these things, ye shall never fall. Hallelujah. Enduring unto the end. If you would, and I'm going to turn to my concordance because there's some things I want to bring to your mind. Paul said this, along with the great apostle of all, Jesus Christ, that if we were to be saved, you had to continue on to the end. Run the race. Stay in the boat. Don't leave the train. Keep your ticket in hand. Be ready at all times. And may I say today, like never before, you need to be ready to leave. I've been teaching the home church this, and it's not to cause a conflict of interest here. But there are those many different teachings concerning the end time and the point of the rapture, of the resurrection of the church. Those theories are called the pre-tribulation rapture. There are those that teach a mid-tribulation rapture. And there are those that teach a post. In other words, after a seven-year period of time, the rapture will occur at the first, at the middle, or at the end of that time span. I have taught the home church at this because of many that have gathered where we are at, many different opinions that seem to exist. I've simply stated this. There is a fourth opinion, and that is the pan-tribulation. Simply stating it this way, that it's going to pan out one way or the other. But the important part of it all is to be ready, for in such an hour as ye think not. Church, you've got to have your wedding garments on. Friend of mine, without Christ, you must have a wedding garment on. You must have the blood applied. You must take on His name. And be ye ready in such an hour as you think not. Hallelujah. Being ready to go, for He is coming. Amen. But until that time, I must continue to endure unto the end, adding to my faith, as the Apostle Peter has said. If I continue to add, if I continue to do those things that are pleasing unto Him, I can be said to be walking in the light as He is in the light. The light of God must shine upon my path. Not only upon my path, but upon my feet, that I might see my way. I must continue to walk with Him. Continue to abide with Him. I want you to know it's not only important that you start to live for God, but it is important that you go all the way. I have an elderly sister in the church. I was talking to the pastor today about her. She is 94 years of age. Here, several years ago, she had a major operation and she really thought she was going to check out. Matter of fact, when she woke up in the recovery room, she was disappointed in the fact that she was still here and not yonder. But there are times that Sister Amy stands up in the congregation and in her own way, she simply says it this way, that if I quit today, and all the time her false teeth are clapping, she can't hardly hold on to them. She's saying, if I quit today and die tomorrow, God will not remember a thing that I have done for Him in my entire effort for living for Him, because I quit one day too soon. I got thinking about that. I don't know where she knew it or not, but that's also Scripture. You can find it in the book. I want you to note, you made a good start. Now let's go on. You made the right start. Now let's finish it. By what? By continuing after Him. Now in my concordance, there are some things that it tells me that I need to continue in. If you would, in John 8 and 31, it simply says, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Do what? I not only am saved by His word, but I continue to live by His word. Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to note, you cannot be saved without the Word. You cannot stay saved without the Word. And you will not be eternally saved without the Word. It's Word, child. It's that we're built upon. It's that we're established upon. It's that keeps the house from falling. When you begin to live for God in this journey, there are going to be things that's going to confront you. Mom Hall several years ago, her and Pastor Hall started the church that I now pastor. Several years ago, she suffered on the brink of a nervous breakdown. She couldn't sleep. She'd sit and cry. She just come under a heavy load, the church, her family, her husband. One of her younger daughters was relating this to me. There were days that she heard her mother quote one particular scripture over and over and over. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are saved. What you and I could not see is that she held a hold of a lifeline. She clung to it. The winds of life beat about her, but the name of the Lord is a strong tower. I am persuaded to believe that I could walk among this congregation and you will find that there have been incidents in some of the lives here in the midst of the strong trials that have confronted them, that there has been a word from the Lord, from His Word, that was imprinted upon them that they clung to as if life, and life did depend upon that one passage of Scripture. I want you to note, as a young man, there is a scripture that has come to mean much to me from Romans chapter 8. For all things work together for good of them who love the Lord, who are called according to His purpose. I have had times of heartache, but all things work together. Do you understand where I'm coming from? That you can begin, but you got to finish it. And if you finish it, you must continue in the Word.
I not only need it now, I'm going to need it to finish up. Let's look at some other things here, if you would. In St. John chapter 15, verse 9, it speaks about continuing in His love. His love toward me. How many do I need to really love me to make it in? Just Him. Can I say that? Just Him. There was times as a young man at home, as a teenager, I didn't feel like there were anybody that understood me. And I believe that was rightfully so. I didn't understand my own self. There were feelings and just things about life that I just did not understand. Mom and Dad didn't understand. My sister didn't understand. My brother didn't understand. But in the midst of all of it, I felt that there was one that understood. And one that loved me. Would you please, right now, simply state to yourself, He loves me. Would you say that again? He loves me. Now will you turn to somebody and tell them, He loves me. Nobody understands. Say, He loves me. Nobody cares. He loves me. There were times in my early ministry, one particular time that comes to mind, I sat upon the platform where I was assisting. And I thought, as I wallowed in my self-pity, there is nobody that cares.
And I heard a still small voice simply state to me, I do. I kind of hugged my head and I thought, yeah, he does. He does. He loves me. He loves me. I continue in His love. Continue in His Word. Let us look at a few more things, if you would. In Acts chapter 13, verse 43, it says to continue in the grace of God. What's He saying to us? It's God's grace that reaches down and brings us up to that mark that God has placed upon the wall that He expects us all to measure up to. And in the midst of my failures, in the midst of my letdowns, it is the grace of God that helps me to maintain that standing before Him. Not that I continue in sin, but that I may come to find that I need from Him. If I fail, what do? Get up. If I fall on my face, what do? Get up. Get up. Get up. Go on. But I have failed. It is good that you have that type of perception about yourself. But at the same time, realize that He is able to hold you up. He is able to forgive. He is able to bind you and carry you. I continue in His grace. In His grace. Let's look at this just a little bit more, if you would. In Colossians 1 and 23, it says, if you continue in the faith, I want you to note His love, His word, His grace, His faith. He has made provision that I might be saved. If I am not saved, it is because I did not lay hold of the provision that was made for me. Now is not the time to quit. Now is not the time to throw up your hands and surrender and say it's over. Now is the time to lay hold on those things that He has provided for us and simply state, I can make it. I am going through. I am not going to fail. I'm going to go all of the way. I want you to note, who is the race to? Who is it to? Is it to the swiftest? Huh? No. How many of you and I are seeing that seem just to take off in a blaze of glory only to find up the road they fell by the side? And those that nobody thought would make it just kept a chugging along. You seen them on Monday and they're chugging. You seen them on Tuesday and that's all he expects. And endurance unto the end. The race is not to the swiftest. I don't seem to be doing very good. Are you running? Have you still got your eyes on the prize that is, oh my, that is set before you? My brother-in-law started work. He worked for 2 days at a quick food place in Donovan. 2 days. The first day that he was there, they was trying to show him some things on how to make a malt and a shake and a lot of things. And he said, the cook in the back giving the third degree, because she asked him if he went to church. And he said, I had a feeling that if I said no, I was going to get it. And if I said yes, I was going to get it. And so he said, I so simply stated the truth. I said, yes, ma'am. Where do you go? And I told her. And she said, oh. And he said, I knew I had it. She said, I used to be one of yours. He said, oh. But she done something she shouldn't have done. Pastor, Shepherd, are you going to tell us her sin? Yes, I'm going to tell you the sin she committed. And that was this. She took her eyes off the prize. She took her eyes off of Christ. And she put her eyes on people. And for the next 30 minutes of my brother-in-law's precious time, she continued to fill his ear full of all of those things that were wrong. My brother-in-law simply stated to me as he walked away, I wanted to look her in the eye and say, but madam, you were looking at imperfection to start with. Why didn't you look higher? Because there is one that is holy and that is righteous, that will keep His word, that will not let you down. And if you walk in the light as He is in the light, you will find what you need. I'm simply stating to you, you can make it in, but you got to keep your eyes on the goal, and you got to keep your eyes on the author. You got to keep your eyes on the finisher, or you will not make it in. We used to sing an old song, I'm going through. I'm going through. I'll pay the price. Whatever others do, I'll take the way with the Lord's despised few. I've started with Jesus, and I'm going through. Yes, I'm going through. Yes, I'm going through. Well, I'll pay the price. Whatever others do, well, I'll take the way with the Lord's despised few, friend. I've started with Jesus, and I'm going through. Yes, I'm going through. Yes, I'm going through. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. Yes, I'll. Oh, with the Lord's despised few, I've started with Jesus, friend, and I'm going through. Well, I'm going through. Yes, I'm going through. Oh, I'll pay the price, whatever others do. Yes, I'll take the way, friend, with the Lord's despised me. I've started with Jesus, friend, and I'm, yes, I'm going through. What about it now? I'm going through. I'll pay the price, friend, whatever others do. Oh, I'll take the way with the Lord's despised view. I don't have to go alone. For He'll go with me. But wait a minute. I also have a lot of others that are doing also. And there are times that I have to reach out and take a hand. Take someone by the arm. And just simply state, hey, we're in this together. And we're going to make it through. If you would, and I'm just not trying to take up time, but would you turn to somebody and say, hey, we can do it. Tell somebody else, you can do it. But maybe your neighbor sitting beside you at this very moment is having difficulty. Why don't you turn and look at them and say, hey, it's going to be all right. Tell them it's going to be all right. We're going to make it. We're going through. Congregation to come in one day and just simply state, Pastor, I quit. It's over. When I leave here, I'm not going to live for God no more. It's over. Brother Pickle Simon said, well, I'll miss you, I really hate that you're going to do this. We've had some good times together. But he said, before you leave, will you do something with me just for one last time, for old time's sake? And he said, well, what's that, Brother Bickerstaff? He said, I want you to go pray with me. Just one more time. Then you can go your way. He said, well, Brother Bickerstaff, since you stated it that way, a little prayer won't hurt us. We'll go pray. So they went in and got in a prayer meeting that broke out and lasted for about an hour and a half. When he got up, he looked at his pastor and said, well, you know something, Pastor? I don't think I'll leave. I think I can make it now, you know. Just need a little extra boost. Lord, Lord, I want you gentlemen, if you would, to lay your hand over on somebody and pray with them. Sister folk, will you do the same? Just lay your hand on them and pray for them. Yeah. Pray for them. Come on, sisters. The Holy Ghost.
Oh, I'm going through, yes, I'm going through.
Come on, pray with them.
Whatever happens,
right there, pray with them.